Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Offense Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And it is time at 5 o'clock on a Wednesday to check in with the Commanders Insider for today's edition of Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Today's guest is the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. He is also the Sports Illustrated writer covering the Commanders. It's our pal, David Harrison. It would help if I hit the button. Need to make sure. Anthony, I got too many mouses over here. Can you pull David up on the phone? Thank you, sir. David, welcome to the show with that horrendous introduction.
It's all good, man. What's up? How you been?
I'm good, man. Just a well-oiled machine that we're operating here. Appreciate your time here on this Wednesday, a busy one ahead of the playoff showdown against the Buccaneers this weekend. And we know from Dan Quinn that, you know, pre-practice press conference, that the only guys that were fully not participating today in practice were the four guys that got rest: Cleveland Furl, Terry McLaurin, Zach Ertz, and then the other one that I'm forgetting. But all the injured guys, they were back out there in some capacity. What more can you tell us about what capacity? How do we feel about Tyler Biadasz and Marshawn Lattimore going into the weekend, and anybody else that you think is really important to mention on the injury front?
Yeah, I think, you know, starting with Marshawn Lattimore first and foremost, like, this is kind of the result that we expected. He's listed as a full participant in Wednesday's practice, and that's obviously really great news. And even coming into last weekend, like, it just kind of felt like the way that this team handled injuries in the past, the fact that it was the same hamstring that Marshawn Lattimore came to the team dealing with, you know, it all just kind of lined up to say he's probably not going to play against Dallas. And then, of course, with them not playing CeeDee Lamb, like, you know, obviously it just kind of matches up. And then you keep him for the playoffs, which is really what he was brought here for, is long-term success, but then also the postseason, if and when the Washington Commanders were to get into it back when they traded for him in the beginning of November. So to see him as a full participant not only breathes confidence into that, you know, opinion before the Cowboys game, but obviously it's very promising as they're going to go up against Mike Evans, you know, future Hall of Famer, just tied Jerry Rice's consecutive 1,000-yard receiving record, all that stuff. Obviously, he did some damage against the Commanders, you know, back in week one. So that's huge. And then Tyler Biadasz, even though he's limited today, you know, I mean, the dude's nickname is Badass for a reason. So you expect that if he can go in any way, shape, or form, I mean, that ankle was taped up about as much as I've ever seen somebody taped up in a quote-unquote jog-through. But the fact that he's out there at all just you know, should breed confidence that the offensive line is going to be intact as well.
When you watch this offensive line with Michael Dieter versus Biadasz, like, how banged up would Biadasz have to be for you to say, it's not worth it?
Yeah, I mean, for a playoff game, I just, you know, the standards change a little bit, right? Like, as careful as this team has been with injuries, you know, I don't think anybody asked today, Dan Quinn, specifically if those standards change, but they kind of have to a little bit, because you always want to take care of the players and everything, but the players also know what's at stake, and this is what they play for. You know, to get into this tournament, that's what you play the regular season for, to put yourself in the best position possible to go after that Lombardi, and this is it. You know what I mean? This is your opportunity to do it, and, you know, not to, like, overly quote Eminem, but you may only get one shot, you know what I mean? So you got to go out there and put it all on the line. So, you know, this is one of those situations where, like, when Tyler was sick, you know, I remember, like, seeing it a little bit in person, but also hearing about it later. Like, he was trying to convince him, like, no, guys, I'm good enough. I can go. And they kind of had to take him by the shoulder and say, hey, look, man, we know that you're a beast. You're a warrior. You want to do this for your team. We appreciate it, but we're going to shut you down today because it's what's best for you in the long run. But the playoffs, I kind of think that when Tyler says, no, I'm good. I can do this. You listen a little bit more because of what's at stake. So, you know, I think, again, unless there's some sort of setback, which it doesn't seem to be, there was today. He was all smiles in the locker room, talking to everybody, even talked to him a little bit offline after he did his official scrum and all that stuff. I feel pretty confident that Biadasz is going to be able to go this weekend.
Definitely great news. David Harrison, Sports Illustrated and Locked On Commanders with us here on the Hoffman Show. And the thing is with him is, because he is so good at getting everyone else going, there's just, you know, all due respect to Michael Dieter, there is a significant drop off, not only from Biotis to Dieter, but the trickle down effect of everyone else. That said, if he can't move like he's supposed to move and you have to change how you call your offense, like that becomes a problem as well. And so I think that's just something to kind of watch that obviously we will be going through the rest of the week, especially, by the way, when it's like, hey, you're playing a 3-4 team with Vita Vea as the nose tackle. So you as a center have a slightly different task this week. So that's obviously something worth watching. What is the number one matchup for you, though, David, when you look at this matchup on paper or look back at the tape from week one? Like, what is the most interesting thing to you and how this game ultimately gets decided on Sunday?
I think it's going to be the second and third level defenders against Bucky Irvin. You know, the Commanders saw Bucky Irvin a little bit, you know, the first time that they played, but Bucky Irvin wasn't really as integral a part of this offense as he is today. And for Commanders fans who don't know, rookie running back for the Buccaneers, Bucky Irvin has done an outstanding job. And, you know, you look at the box score from the last time they played, 9 carries, 62 yards, had a couple of receptions, but that doesn't really illustrate the impact that he's had on this team as the season has progressed. So when you look at what's different from the Buccaneers from week one to now, that is one of the main things. Jalen McMillan is also one of those things. He's really stepped up since that team lost Chris Godwin. Obviously, you know what Mike Evans is going to bring, so it's not to diminish what Mike Evans does per se, but I think that if you're looking for like an X factor, a player that not every, you know, Commanders fan who doesn't pay attention to the Buccaneers during the course of the season knows, that's going to be the guy. And, you know, I say second and third level defenders, guys like Frankie Louvu, Bobby Wagner hitting their fits. You know, Quan Martin has had a lot of matchups against Bucky in that week one matchup, so he's going to have a lot of opportunities to go up against him as well, whether it's, you know, filling in a run fit or covering him in, out of the backfield. But how they contain Bucky Irvin is really going to set the tone, I think, for this game, because that's a dude that, you know, if you give him a crease or a missed tackle, like he can really turn that thing into an explosive play and punish you for it. So I think that's really going to be, at the end of the day, if the Commanders' defense is able to kind of keep this Buccaneers' offense from getting above, say, the 24-point mark, I think it's going to be because they did a good job of stifling that running back. If they go over that mark, I think you're going to see Bucky have a big day.
So I don't know if things that are not human beings can be enigmatic, but I'm going to pretend that they can be. The Commanders' run defense this year has been enigmatic. It has been, at times, good for very long stretches. It has been horrendous in some stretches. Sometimes it has been consistently just not good enough. I think of this, its most recent performance this past weekend against Dallas, where the longest carry they gave up was, I think, 10 yards. But there's a ton of 6 and 7 yard carries versus Philadelphia, where they give up a couple of enormous gains to Barkley early and then pretty much shut it down and have a fairly dominant performance for three quarters. Can this, like, first of all, what do you make of the Commanders' run defense, and what is kind of the level or the type of run defense you think they need to play Sunday to make sure that Irving doesn't win Tampa a playoff game as a rookie?
Yeah, I think it really all boils down to, you know, your aggressive action, right? You want aggressive action from this defense. That's what Dan Quinn's about. That's what Joe Witt's about. That's what all these coaches are about, and certainly these players want to fit that, but it's got to be intelligent aggression. You can't let that aggression, you know, undo all of the work that you've done. You can't let that aggression undo the scheme that you're trying to fill, you know. And I talked to Frankie Louvu, you know, ahead of the Dallas Cowboys matchup about a similar type of kind of, you know, situation, but it was because of Trey Lance and kind of what he can do outside the pocket and how they can move things with him. But then also use that to set up, you know, guys like Rico Dowdle, who can certainly run it through the line if you get an opportunity to. And how important that discipline is, and to understand, like, if I'm a leak defender, I've got to stay back. You know what I mean? Even if I see that running back, or if I see that mobile quarterback, you know, go back to the Cowboys analogy, like, even if I see that guy stretching that run, I've got to understand, like, there's a guy out there whose his job is to contain. There's a guy out there whose his job is to crash in. My job is to stay back here so that the play comes backwards or comes back inside, or if the play springs past that first level of defense, I'm there to make the play. If I get too aggressive, wanting to be aggressive and kind of embody what our scheme is about, that's how I run myself out of the play. And I always kind of go back to it. It's not to like harp on Dorrance Armstrong, because obviously he's been very solid this season, but that first explosive touchdown run from Saquon Barkley that really kind of set the avalanche in motion that led to the Commanders losing to the Eagles that Thursday night, he kind of fell victim to that. He's trying to pursue this run, going opposite of the side of him, trying to use that backside defender, but he feels like Saquon is just going to take this thing outside. So he's trying to get a good angle, trying to be aggressive. What ends up happening is Saquon cuts back, and then your backside defender is no longer backside. He runs free for a touchdown. That's the kind of thing that this team, it's hard to do in the heat of the moment because you want to go make the play for your team. But that's really what it's got to boil down to because, you know, everybody, when we watch this game, like, you see a wide open hole, it's easy to say, like, oh, Joe Witt, what are you doing? Daryl Tapp, what are you doing? You know, all these guys, like, but at the end of the day, like, someone's supposed to be there. So you got to figure out why they weren't there. And usually, at least with this team, it's because that aggression took over and kind of overrode the IQ, which has to be there as well.
It's a funny thing about watching tape. Every play is supposed to work on paper. The game's not played on paper. David Harrison with us for another minute here on the Hoffman Show. David, of course, writes for Sports Illustrated about the Commanders and then also is the host of the Locked On Commanders podcast. I'd be remiss if I did not ask you about Jaden Daniels before we went, David, because he also spoke today getting ready for the rematch against Tampa. Obviously, a replay of his first ever NFL real regular season game. And then this will be his first playoff game. What did you walk out of Jaden's press conference kind of thinking about today and how ready he is for this this moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, honestly, in this first interaction this week with Jaden in playoff season and all that stuff, and I know the closer you get to the game, the more kind of real, I guess, it's going to potentially get. But I really just wanted to kind of get a gauge of his personality. And you know, sometimes you get to know these players, at least to a certain extent, covering them. And you know what I'm talking about. You kind of just feel there's something different. There's something maybe off. And honestly, even going into the locker room, you know, we got in the locker room. He was just kind of hanging out with Mikey Sainer still. And then, you know, he was on a phone call with someone, not my business, so I don't know who. But, like, he was Jaden. You know what I mean? And it really kind of just reinforces that whole, you know, he is who he is. And, but you have this, there's this wonderment in me. And when we get into this game on Sunday, I'm going to be watching because, you know, we also go back to week one and he was still that poised guy that we saw, you know, all through rookie training camp and all that stuff. But there was a little bit of, this is your first NFL game. And you saw that kind of survival mode, I think is what Cliff Kingsbury called it, the fight or flight, and certainly more flight in him than fight, you know, as far as like staying in the pocket, staying alive as a passer. So you just kind of wonder, is the playoff atmosphere going to kind of bring that back a little bit? And at least, you know, again, it's only one day so far this week, and we got to get a lot closer to the game to really get a gauge of it. But I think the biggest thing right now is that it looks like Jaden is still Jaden Daniels. And this is, you know, it's a big football game, but it's still a football game. He's going to still have a lot of fun doing it. I love that clip of him getting sandwiched by like 3-4 defenders and just laughing in the middle of it. Like, he's still going to be that dude. And as long as he's that guy, you know, every single one of these people, from the veterans like Bobby Wagner to the coaching staff to defensive coaches that don't even necessarily interact with him on an official capacity on a daily basis, they've always said, like, as long as number five is in the fight and he's poised and he's collected, we've got a chance. And I think that's going to bleed into this weekend's action. So we'll see how, you know, I don't expect to come in Friday and see, like, Jaden Daniels biting his fingernails off or anything like that, but certainly I think that's going to play a part into it.
David Harrison writing all about it and got video content as well over on the Sports Illustrated site for the Commanders. And then, of course, if you'd like to listen to more of David, you can on the Locked On Commanders podcast. David, appreciate your time as always, sir. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk to you down the line for sure.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you.
That's David Harrison with us here on the Hoffman Show. When we get back from David to Dave, Dave Johnson joins us from Philadelphia, where the Wizards will take on the Sixers tonight.